We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
I don't need lectures from you or anybody on the Sinn Féin side of the house.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello, and you're very welcome to Your Politics Podcast. Paul Cunningham here in the hot seat, and I'm joined by our political correspondent Micheál Lehane and our political reporter Sandra Hurley. Micheál, if I can start with you, there's loads and loads of stories rolling through the Oireachtas, but if we can take a step back and talk about the atmosphere here,
Yeah. It
is very, very different. It's quite volatile, it's quite emotional, it's quite at times angry.
It is, and it's a level of emotion that I haven't seen. I haven't seen in like the 16 years I've been here. And in the one sense, there's a stability because the votes that are going to go through tonight and tomorrow on a numbers front from a government point of view, there doesn't look to be volatility there. So in one sense, that looks solid. But over the last 24 hours, what you've seen is a lot of emotion in relation to the mother and baby homes legislation, that plan by government to seal those files, that 4,000 pages or more relating to the mother and baby homes. Government saying, we're doing this for the simple reason that that information would go beyond reach if we didn't seal it up, and trust
us. Lost.
Trust us, we'll bring in legislation and there will be access to those files for the people who need it. But of course, trusting the system, given that the entire commission is a result and was necessary as a result of massive systems failure across the state, asking people to have that trust in it then obviously presents a difficulty. And the testimony that has been voiced by TDs from all the opposition parties in the last while, some of it has been harrowing. So that has led to a great deal of emotion. And the line the government is taking, and it's a difficult one, you sense, for the Green Party and a Green Party minister, Joan Collins, the independent TD, saying in recent times, the last hour or so, to Roderick O'Gorman, you're meant to be socially conscious, you're from the Green Party. And him taking a firm line by saying, answering Holly Cairns in the most direct terms half an hour ago as to whether or not he is likely to accept any amendments, the one word answer, no. So that creates a certain atmosphere. Load on top of all that, the huge level and number of restrictions that are now going to be extended on until next June. That debate also happening in the House today. And that leading to some really explosive, some of it incoherent, contributions from Matty McGrath and Michael McNamara too. Not saying Michael McNamara's was incoherent, but there was a level of emotion to it. Asking Stephen Donnelly at one point, are you going to go after priests if they go into a church to say Mass? Which of course has echoes that go all the way back to the penal laws. So when that kind of emotion and so much history and painful history is being referenced over a 24-hour period in the Dáil, what you have is, yes, you have volatility, you have a great sense that things are highly unsettled, and that probably is not reflective solely of the political system, it's reflective of the mood in the country. What happens next? What's the next step in this? I don't know, but at the very least, you sense government are going to be asked for more details on what strategy they have to exit the lockdown. And on that, there's varying things. Micheál Martin saying that he believes it's level 3 at some point in December. Stephen Donnelly on Morning Ireland saying perhaps the restrictions could be lifted at that point, region by region. So a difficult time ahead and the exit door not fully clear.
One extra dimension to that feeling of anger also stemmed from the entrance of Vicky Phelan into the debate on the Cervical Check Tribunal. Bring us up to speed on that.
Yeah, the Cervical Check Tribunal is going to be established on Tuesday. That's a decision of Cabinet taken earlier this week. Vicky Phelan, in a thread on Twitter last night, citing major difficulties with that plan as it stands, because she said
a very angry thread.
Very angry thread, because you said the concerns that they outlined to the minister recently, none of them had been taken on board, and that they centre on three areas. One is a desire by the 221 group to make the tribunal less adversarial. That means that the laboratories shouldn't be involved. Now, Leo Varadkar, the Taoiseach, in a fairly trenchant response in the Dáil this morning, saying you can't do that, and equally you cannot make it any less adversarial because doctors and scientists have to have the right to defend themselves in this forum because, in his words, things mightn't be clear cut. that presents a difficulty. The other two points in it related to the statute of limitations. Are there people who waited in good faith for this tribunal to happen because they believed it would be less adversarial, but now they could be facing problems with that particular point, the statute of limitations. And the third point related to the right of people to go back to the tribunal for a second time if their illness reoccurred.
Yeah. I believe Vicky Phelan was seen around Leinster House. She is due to have a meeting with the Minister for Health before the tribunal kicks off next week. So once again, that story is just going to continue to move and continue to be watched closely.
Since the most that can happen there is that a pause will be put on establishing it next Tuesday and that the concerns outlined by Vicky Phelan will have to be considered by government again. But the crux of that in the response of the Taoiseach today, who of course has been Taoiseach and been involved in this and has been a former health minister, it's difficult to see how that adversarial question is going to be got around.
And that does present a problem when you have like a campaigner like Vicky Phelan, who is so articulate, who is very media savvy, for you to be a minister and finding yourself trying to defend a position in the face of that, where you're going to have opposition support swelling in behind her organisation. It's going to be really tricky, Sandra.
Yeah, I think this is politically very difficult territory for the government. I mean, the whole point of the tribunal was to take the women out of the High Court and so that they didn't have to go through that really difficult, lengthy questioning in the High Court. That said, the government has to kind of strike a balance because they need to, you know, for the women's claims to be upheld, negligence would have to be established. That means the labs would have to have a right to challenge some of the evidence being heard, and that starts bringing in the lawyers. So it is really tricky for the government. But the problem is that if Vicky Phelan, as you say, a very strong campaigner with a lot of political backing, if she doesn't want to get involved in the 2-2-1 group, then that leaves the tribunal in a very difficult position, because if all these women are not going to take part, then what's the point of it? The tribunal has been beset with other difficulties. Some of the earlier judges left for other reasons. So it's taken a long time to get to this point. So I think, as Micheál said, they might have to postpone it for a little bit. Some surprise amongst the women, because they felt it was kind of announced just after one of the cabinet meetings earlier this week, and they weren't expecting it to be set up so quickly. So maybe the handling of that, of them being kept in the loop, that there's a question around that as well.
Yes, and insofar as that this would be the first full week of level 5 restrictions is the day you're going to have the tribunal starting. But let's just deal with today's issues, because nearly every hour there's a new story. And just as Leaders' Questions was taking place and Leo Varadkar was in the hot seat, it was Michael Fitzmaurice, also Piers Stoherty of Sinn Féin, raising this question of an outbreak of COVID-19 in a nursing home with high numbers, one death. And it struck me that there was two sides to the story. One related to nearly an ominous message going out to the public that we went through dark times, March, April, May, in relation to difficulties in nursing homes. Could that be being repeated? And the second thing, particularly articulated by Michael Fitzmaurice, that the supports, once a problem was identified, didn't seem to be there. Once again, asking questions about the preparedness of the government. So how crucial do you think it is that they're going to be able to deal with this? Because it's really gathering pace with Liveline and other media outlets as well.
Yeah, like you said, it's really disturbing to hear that, and the timing politically is really bad, the same as it was with the tracing problem earlier this week, just as we're going up to those really tough restrictions. Now, the Minister for Health in the afternoon was telling the Dáil that management, senior management, are on site. He said the testing, it was the HSE testing that picked up all of the problem and that they are getting the support they need. But certainly very moving contributions from various politicians. And as you say, it has been playing out on radio as well. And it is, nobody wants to see a return to those problems in nursing homes. It seemed to take the sort of the system by surprise earlier this year. It seems to have been the case that the acute hospitals were prioritised over the nursing homes, and that led to very high numbers of deaths. That is still really under investigation, with the possibility of further inquiry into that. So it really is something that the government would not want to see at the moment.
And if you think about it, the Minister for Health is trying to deal with that. He actually left the chamber to take some calls on that issue of the HSE just at the same time, or within an hour, of the head of the HSE going on to Clara Burns' radio show and saying that he accepted full responsibility for not informing the same minister about the tracing crisis which happened over the weekend. I mean, it really seems to be just these couple of days a department which is beset by problems and a minister having to deal with just a whole range of issues.
Yes, absolutely. They're putting out fires all over the place. Now, as you said, Paul Reid did take responsibility for not notifying the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste that they found out from a media report. He said that it was really all happening at the same time on Tuesday evening when they were getting to grips with it. It kind of emerged in the media. They didn't have time to tell the senior politicians. But it is not what the government needs at this time, because they really need the buy-in from the public to get to that level five restrictions, to sort of bed it down for 6 weeks and to get people really on board. And I think the other issue around that has been around inconsistencies in the restrictions. We've seen this all along. There was the issue over the attendance at funerals versus weddings. Now, that was sorted out when it was pointed out earlier this week. There has been questions about sport, elite sport being prioritised over other sports, then construction being allowed, why not retail? And there does appear to be inconsistencies, and that creates its own problems because it's about a sense of, I suppose, fairness about rules being equally applied as well.
How do you characterise where we are at the moment? We're at the beginning of this period of level five restrictions. We have a government which clearly has had a difficult decision to make, has now made it. It's in its bed and has to lie in it. What can the government do to overcome some of the issues which Sandra just pointed to there when you're really in the hands of the public? If the public doesn't buy it, then is there much the government can do, or is it a failure of governance not to get the people on board?
Well, it's going to be more difficult, isn't it? And it's going to be more difficult when you can't exactly chart the way out of it. And of course, people know now that even when the big sacrifices are made and you get to a certain point, well, then that may not last. And I suppose that contrasts with when the country was exiting lockdown the last time, there was kind of these assurances. Of course, the proviso was always there that there was much uncertainty, but there were certainly political words that it was thought nothing akin to the first lockdown could ever re-emerge, because there was a greater knowledge about how the virus worked and measures could be far more targeted. Based on what's happening now, that clearly hasn't been the case. So that makes the trying to get the commitment of people all the more difficult. I suppose as well as that, when you look, and this is something that Michael Ring voiced at the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party meeting last night, that question that the state is asking people to follow the rules, but yet something like the contact tracing, which is the responsibility of the state to have working correctly, didn't work at all last weekend. So therefore, that makes it all the more difficult as well.
I mean, you mentioned some of the opposition TDs kicking up a fuss this morning. But we also had people like Jim O'Callaghan on the Fianna Fáil side once again coming out saying, I'm fully behind the government, but at the same time, I'm not sure this strategy is the best one.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that chimes with probably a far greater proportion of the population this time than it did the last time, and that presents a certain difficulty.
One thing we noted, I think, collectively, was the question of how the government and how it deals with the opposition parties at leaders' questions, whether it's Micheál Martin or whether it's Leo Varadkar, varies widely. When it comes to Sinn Féin, there seems to be a full-on frontal attack on whatever position they're having. And yet would say the Labour Party, at times there's, why, thank you so much, Alan Kelly, for your very intelligent question. And all that tic-tacking we've had over the past few days has been very helpful to get us to this point. It's quite stark.
Yeah, it's a contrast. I suppose Alan Kelly did go on the attack yesterday saying what had happened in relation to contact tracing was bonkers. At the same time, there is that almost cuddle approach being taken by both Leo Varadkar and Micheál Martin when it comes to Alan Kelly, thanking him for the level of responsibility that he's taking.
Unlike others,
particularly pointing at Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin, and it is kind of notable in the contributions this week that the way Mary Lou MacDonald approached it was different to other weeks. If they go on an all-out attack, Sinn Féin, the accusation that comes back from government is that they're being populist, and then the question arises, well, why aren't you doing that in the north? That was always there with Leo Varadkar as well, but in some ways it seemed to have become more bitter in the last about 3 weeks back in exchanges between Mary Lou MacDonald and Micheál Martin. And it's no doubt a certain dynamic is emerging there. And you'd have to say, I mean, all opposition, when it's going at full tilt, has a certain dynamic to it and has a certain straightforward, to use the word around here, narrative. And that Sinn Féin is no different in that. But there definitely seems to be a tendency in recent years, and particularly now, by the government to make the opposition more accountable for what they say. Something that wasn't there back in the time, even we'll say when Labour were on the front foot with Eamon Gilmore going for that Fianna Fáil-led government. There was a sense then that government would defend itself, but not quite perhaps attack the opposition in the same way. That has changed, that repositioning.
And maybe a whisper in a political correspondent's ear every now and again, that's part of your duty to be holding the opposition to account as well.
Yeah, I think since like that's at the point,
I get that from other government TDs. Sure, let them away with it.
Yeah, and it's a point that was reinforced from the time that Leo Varadkar became Taoiseach. It was one of his first early speeches. He talked about holding the opposition to account. But of course, the opposition don't have any great power. So, I mean, the level of accountability is different.
Yeah. Sandra, if we can bring you in, we were talking about the dynamic of the opposition there. What about the cohesion within the coalition? I mean, we've got some big votes coming up tonight down at Convention Centre Dublin, but it looks pretty much as they're going to get them over the line. When we were talking about the budget last week, one of the reasons we were given for that cohesion was that the money machine had been come out, you know, ministers, junior ministers, the cash was being prevented, then was being presented, and also that also meant that tough decisions were being delayed. How do you see things working at the moment?
Yeah, there are a lot of votes tonight. Now, as you say, the government expected to win comfortably. One or two of the opposition pointing to the Greens, maybe, because there was an issue with there's a vote tonight on this new ban on evictions that the minister is bringing in for kind of around 7 weeks, a little bit over. The opposition wanted to be 6 months and longer. If you cast your mind back to July, it was a kind of a residential tenancies bill also that Nasa Harrigan voted against and Joe O'Brien abstained on. So some of the opposition saying, oh, watch the Greens just in case there's some wobbles there. We haven't heard of anything. So I suppose people will be keeping an eye on tonight. But yes, since the budget, it seems to be pretty cohesive. And I think in terms of the move to level five, within the government, people have been treading a very careful line of saying we are backing what the government is doing, even including government TDs. You mentioned Jim O'Callaghan there, Barry Cowan is saying something similar. You know, the decision has been taken. We as a society have to get behind it. What they're questioning, I suppose, is the long-term strategy. This idea of perhaps yo-yoing in and out of lockdown, that was a quote from Paul Murphy earlier this week. The Taoiseach seems to be pretty much saying that that is what they expect. That's what Neffat has told them is likely to happen, that the numbers will go down towards Christmas. They'll sort of save Christmas. Maybe, fingers crossed, if things went really well, they might get to level two by Christmas. But it is going to go up again, they would expect, in the new year. And TDs, both inside and outside government, have questioned, well, how, is that really the best long-term strategy that we can do? Surely there could be something better out there than simply tightening things up and then opening up, easing a little bit.
Trying to find a way to stay out of it, and that's probably where the next political debate will go. Because the plan as it is now is what Alan Kelly was speaking a week ago about, and at the time it looked quite primitive, that you would get things together for Christmas, have a bit of movement then, and then knuckle down again and try and get it right for Patrick's Day.
But I suppose that it is stemming in part from the idea that you do need to give people hope. We're talking far more now these days about the question about mental health and the fact that we had a lovely summer, a summery April, whereas we're heading into the dark days of November now. But just keeping it back onto the coalition cohesiveness, when do you think that sort of some of those tougher decisions are going to be coming? I was just looking at the European Parliament recently. There was a big vote on cap this week. The Greens were against it, axing the cap. So, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be something that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil would subscribe to. So that, like, is one issue. But what are the types of issues do you think that the strains of governance are going to reappear?
Well, I think it was always going to be the financial issues, wasn't it? And I mean, there was a point in the summer where it looked as if the budget was going to follow a more traditional pattern. And I know there were certain briefings within the government at that point that was talking about setting flags around austerity, well, not austerity, setting flags around when it came to dealing with paying things back. Yeah. But they were all abandoned, and 18 billion was invested as a replacement because things reached the level of political expediency that was necessary. So from a financial point of view, it's hard to see any strains at that level for quite some time. But if you look at the mother and baby homes issue, it is those things that you don't expect that can cause the difficulty. And I think while that vote will go through tonight, it will be interesting to watch if everyone on the Green side actually votes with the government in clear terms.
And actually, just on the financial point, as you raise it there, I wonder next year, Michael McGrath and Pascal Donoghue have signalled very strongly that they want to start mentioning definite deficit reduction at some point next year. Maybe April has been cited. And we know this was an issue for some of the Greens in the government formation talk. Yeah. So I wonder how on board all of the Green Party will be if, you know, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, those senior finance ministers want to start at least sketching out a plan for reducing the deficit. I mean, if you look at the move to level five restrictions, according to the Department of Finance, has added, you know, 1.25 billion, I think, to the deficit, to the borrowing.
It's 1.5 now.
Oh, really? Yeah. The numbers are moving around. I mean, they've been moving around a lot, as we know. We started at 30, then it went down to 20, and now it's maybe at 23 or something. Yeah. So it is moving around a lot. But I wonder about that. And that's something that the opposition has already in its sights, the Social Democrats and others, saying that this is something they're already concerned about, possible moves to talk about reducing the borrowing, because that, as we know, means cutbacks of some form.
So basically, it all comes down to money. Once the money machine runs out.
And where does all that energy that you're seeing in the chamber over the last 2 days, I mean, what does that result in politically? I mean, there's no way that you can get that level of volatility, anger expressed, that it won't result in some kind of shift or some kind of change or some kind of major pressure being applied to government. It's just seeing what exactly it will be and when it will emerge. Will it be some point next spring where the level of weariness has really begun to set in, or will it be at some point in the winter?
It was. I mean, like, looking at Michael McNamara, the independent TD for Clare, I mean, he was roaring today. Yeah. Yesterday, you had Sinn Féin's Kathleen Funchen at times just having to pause due to the emotion that was in her voice as she was talking about these records and 30 years and whether they'd be kept away from survivors. I mean, it's different.
Oh, it's different. I mean, Michael McNamara's stuff, as I said, having echoes of the penal laws about it. Then Matty McGrath invoking the names of Sean Tracy and Dan Breen, the men, he said, who fired the opening shots.
The leaders we needed
in Ireland's
now.
Independence. Yeah, so all that kind of stuff. I've never seen that. I remember the days, like, at the points of austerity where you had things like what became the local property tax introduced, where you had the water charges introduced. And what you had at that point was a sense of weary resignation. And there was protest at the gates, but there weren't huge protests. There was a sense of energy having drained out and resignation. What you have here is an energetic anger. It's just difficult to see what its results will ultimately be in political terms.
It would be nice to end our podcast on a more chipper note, but I think it does reflect where politics is at the moment. So I'd like to thank Sandra Hurley of our political staff, Micheál Lehane, our political correspondent. I hope you've enjoyed your politics podcast. We'll be back again next week. If you like what you're hearing, please do subscribe and leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much.